Good morning, everyone. Hope you all are well and enjoyed last night. I'm thankful that you all were able to come up bright and early and come to our session first thing in the morning, so thanks for taking the effort. Today, we're going to be talking about building secure live streaming workflows for broadcasters and enterprises. My name is Martin Wall. I'm a principal program manager, part of Azure Media Services, and I'm joined on the stage with my colleague Jason Seuss, who's also part of Azure Media Services. And we're excited to be talking to you about this area. This is clearly a very hot topic within the Azure Cloud Network, which is around the distribution of media content. So this morning, we're going to give you a brief overview of what Azure Media Services is really all about, a little overview of the features and functions of the product and what is being offered, some examples of some customers that have deployed these services and what kinds of solutions they have built, particularly around the use of streaming live video content. And then Jason has a series of demonstrations of how to show you how to build a live workflow yourself using some really easy tools and some already made code. So hopefully this will be a really interesting session for you. We want this to be interactive, obviously, and with the small of us, we can certainly take direct questions as you'd like at the end. So with that, I'm just going to give you a brief overview of what this space is really all about. What is the area that we focus in? So of course, as you know, Azure is quite a vast network of compute processing and storage and bandwidth capabilities. And one of the key areas of Azure that we've been spending a lot of time on is how to use the cloud for distribution of video content. Video content in the last 10 years or so has really been becoming a predominant form of the traffic that's been traversing the internet. This is due in part to the fact that there has been quite a substantial rise in the amount of devices that are capable of playing high-quality video and audio content. Clearly, you all have one of those in your pockets right now, so you know what I'm talking about. And also the trend that consumers and businesses alike have been using video as the form of currency by which we all communicate with each other. I think it's probably true that we all don't read manuals anymore or read documents. When we want to learn how to do something, or we watch the video. This is becoming ever complicated by the fact that as video has become streamed over the internet, the cost for doing that has just gone up and up and up, mostly due to the fact that demand has gone up and up. So both organizations that are either in the entertainment and media space or possibly enterprises have been investing quite substantially in the hardware capabilities in order to support the demand. But this is only increasing over time and getting more and more complex. So what we have found is that the cloud can help in solving some of these key challenges and get you to market with solutions much faster and potentially much cheaper. As we look at some of the key trends, these are probably very familiar to you. You know, the number of devices that are on the planet now exceeds the population of the Earth, and that's only growing. The amount of traffic that's traversing the internet is now expected to be 90% contained by video traffic in just a few years. So this data points to the fact that we are all using video more, we are all consuming video more, and so the complexity of building solutions is ever increasing. Now, there are some really interesting opportunities, of course, that this leads to. One is, of course, that in addition to the fact that we're watching recorded content, live content has tended to be a very exciting new form of the way to do streaming over the internet. As you probably have watched some live programs yourself, you know that live content is very compelling. It drives the largest audience sizes, typically 10 times higher than anything that's been recorded previously. And of course, that is a business opportunity for some companies or content owners. If your business model is based on advertising, clearly you want the largest audience possible. And so doing this is clearly a very big challenge. If you have a very large audience watching a piece of content, then you have to have an infrastructure that is capable of scaling and supporting that. But also, it's not just about the distribution of content. If you are a content owner, you also are aware that just getting the video content onto all of the devices, all of the consumer and business demand for your content, isn't enough. You also have to deal and look at the challenges of what your business model is. So the technology that supports the distribution of video content, whether it's recorded or live, has to also give you the ability to manage your existing business models and licensing rules. Most of you are familiar with the fact that all content is licensed. All content has rules and restrictions about where it can be played and who can watch it. But equally as important is how do you make money from that content? We're not all just distributing video content for purely entertainment purposes. In most cases, we're doing it for either business monetary reasons or for communication and sharing within a corporate structure. So having to solve for all of these challenges, such as audience management and user authentication, encryption and geo-blocking, how do you support content protection and digital rights management solutions? And then if you have vast libraries of content, whether live or on-demand content, you need key tools for searching and providing recommendations to your viewers. All of these key areas are part of what we have built as a solution within the Azure cloud, and we call that Azure Media Services. So the teams that Jason and I represent is the part of Azure that's dedicated to building solutions for around media distribution of content. And that takes really two forms. One is the area around content encoding and content transformation, and the other is around content delivery and distribution. These are the two primary focuses of our team, our Azure Media Services team, and what we're going to spend time talking to you today, with a little bit of an emphasis on the distribution of live content, which has a little interesting nuances from that of on-demand content. Now, I'd like to break it down for you a little bit more to give you a little in-depth as to what Azure Media Services provides to you and to customer solutions that you may be building. So I'll go ahead and dive a little deeper in. So Azure Media Services, which of course is part of the Microsoft Azure Cloud, involves five key areas of functionality. These five areas include, as you can see on this slide here, one, the ability to get your content to the cloud in the form of cloud upload and storage. And again, that content might be either recorded files that you've pre-produced, or it could be live content that you're taking from cameras, the digital cameras that you have in sports venues or government offices, possibly educational facilities or medical buildings. It could be in a corporate office, in which case you're capturing your live source, and then you're going to stream that content through the cloud to reach all of the devices of the endpoints that you wish to reach. The second key area of Azure Media Services is around content encoding, packaging, and indexing. This is about the ability to transform your content into a format that can be viewed by all the different devices that are in the market today. Now, I know that all of you are carrying in your pockets a variety of different types, manufacturers, operating systems, and form factors of devices, whether that's a tablet, such as the Surface, or an iPad, or a mobile phone, whether manufactured by Samsung, or by Microsoft, or by any other device, or a game console, an internet-connected television set, a set-top box. Whatever your platform happens to be, they all are capable of watching video, but they all do so in different ways. Different streaming protocols, different form factors, different resolutions. So it is a little complicated to have to do this to support all of the devices, but that's precisely what Azure Media Services offers, is a way to be able to get your content reformatted so it'll play very nicely on any device that's available in the market today. The third key area is around what we call content protection. So this is really important, particularly if the content that you're distributing is something that you don't want everyone to necessarily see. You might want to sell the content, in which case you might have a subscription-based model. You may want to distribute it only to a select few people, such as people within your corporation or people who have authenticated access or perhaps who have bought a subscription. You may only wish to distribute it based on an advertising model, or you may want to make sure that you capture the subscriber information in advance. So whatever your business model is, you need a layer of content protection. This involves encryption, this involves digital rights management, this involves user authentication, and there's lots of different ways to build solutions around this. The fourth key area of Azure Media Services is live and on-demand streaming. And then, of course, is the distribution of the content. Now, we use adaptive bitrate streaming as part of Microsoft Azure Media Services, and that's what we have found to be the best way and the way the industry has been trending to distribute content to devices that are remote, as well as capable devices that are small. So this is different from, say, a progressive download approach, where you download an entire video file, and then you play that file in its entirety on the device. This is the ability to stream it in little pieces to provide the best experience to your viewer, the smoothest experience, the one with no spinning arrows where you're waiting for the next frame to appear, and also give you, the owner, the ability to manage and control the content as you're not making copies of the content and bringing that all over the place. Part of the streaming capabilities that we offer on this platform is an integrated content distribution network, or what we call CDN. Now, CDN is obviously the ability to be able to reach viewers that are located geographically all over the world, if necessary, and also give them the best experience in terms of performance. So Microsoft does offer an Azure CDN that we provide to our customers, but we also integrate quite nicely with a lot of third-party CDN offerings. And when you are building a custom solution, you can use either the Microsoft Azure CDN or a third-party CDN, and that integrates right into our streaming capabilities. And lastly, the fifth and possibly most important in some case area is around player client technology. So this is, of course, the experience that you see when you are on, when you are the viewer and you're watching your video. What will the experience be? Will you have the ability to go back and forth through the content? Will you have the ability to jump within the content? Will you be able to link it to other data and find other videos? What is the experience? Does it run off a client that you download from, for example, the iTunes Store, or the Google App Store, or the Microsoft Windows Store? Or is it something that uses a native browser to view, in which case there is no client that gets downloaded, but rather use of a browser? In whatever scenario that you or your customer chooses to build, we have built quite a lot of great solutions and technology around this to make this as easy as possible to build these categories. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that not all of the things that we offer at Azure Media Services is built by Microsoft alone. There is a very, very large ecosystem of third-party partners that we work with today that offer value-add services, innovative new features that you can add on top of all of these key capabilities to provide a complete end-to-end solution. And that really helps in building solutions for customers, regardless of their development capabilities or your own. If you wish to develop code and build a customized solution, you can do so. But perhaps you want to buy something off the shelf as a turnkey, already ready-to-go shrink-wrap solution, in which case you might want to look at one of the partners that we offer that can do all of this for you and sell it to you ready-to-go. So whichever way you choose to go, we think we have a great option to work with. Now, this is diving even further deep, and you know, I know that there's a lot of words on this slide, and I don't expect everyone to read all of this, but this just gives you a sense of how deep and rich these features really are. You know, each one of these categories of functions that we provide as part of Azure Media Services offers a lot of great capabilities. Whether you're looking to encode any kind of source format from what your video file originated as, to the ability to package that content up into all of the major adaptive bitrate streaming protocols that are available on the market today, whether that's Microsoft's smooth streaming format, or perhaps Apple's HLS format, or the new standard format, which has now been adopted by internet bodies called MPEG-DASH. Regardless of the streaming protocol, we support it today as part of Azure Media Services so that you can play it on any device. And then you can see clearly in more detail all of these key capabilities, which I'm going to break down a little bit more for you. But this is just to give you a sense. This is a very powerful platform. And we have many customers that use one, two, or sometimes all of these capabilities in building a custom media solution. At the bottom of the screen, you can see some of the key announcements that we've just made, actually here in Europe at the International Broadcasting Consortium show in Amsterdam just last month. We announced quite a lot of key new capabilities, with the most important and possibly most exciting of them, the first one on the list, which is what Jason's going to be showing you today, which is we announced worldwide availability for the public of the live streaming capabilities. That is the ability for anyone with an Azure subscription to create a live channel capable of broadcasting a stream at high definition to any device on the planet at scale. So in other words, if you want to launch yourself a channel and you can have content that's popular enough to garner an audience perhaps in the millions, you can launch that in about 3 minutes' time on Azure and have it play out very quickly and very cost-effectively. You might want to compare this to what it takes in the past for you to launch a similar channel through the traditional broadcast and satellite means, hundreds of millions of US dollars potentially taking between 6 and 18 months worth of time to launch the infrastructure necessary to support it. So this is pretty groundbreaking, almost revolutionary technology that we're now making available to the public through Azure Media Services, and we're quite excited to be able to show this to you today. I'm going to take a little bit more time to give you some more depth of what these services look like. So let's look at the encoding category. So encoding clearly is the ability to transform your content, whether it's pre-recorded content or it's live-based content, and to do that on the fly so that you can convert it and distribute your content as needed. We offer quite a lot of choices when it comes to encoding, choices that range from fast to slow and cheap, again, depending on your business model and what your requirements are. So we announced quite recently that you have three choices of encoding. You can encode at a basic rate, which is relatively inexpensive, or you can encode at what we call our premium scale, which is a little more expensive, but very, very fast, almost real-time capable encoding capabilities or transcoding capabilities. This is important if you or your customer has a very quick turnaround. We have many customers that are in the entertainment business where time is money. And so the moment that a new release of video content, either from a movie or television or music, comes out, they would like to turn that around to their consumers as fast as possible. So being able to encode it very quickly and publish it up onto the cloud and get it out to be sold is very important to them. We announced a brand new service also at the IBC show, which we call our Media Services Content Indexing. So indexing is the ability to use voice-to-text conversion capabilities to create text representations the conversion of every spoken word in a video to its text format so then you can later use that for searching. So imagine if you have a very large video library and you want to make that available to your consumer or your viewing audience, and you would like to give them the ability to search for keywords, perhaps particular sports or a public figure or event that happened across your video library. You can now use this service to convert all of your videos into a text strings, which sits in a database, and then you offer a very simple search application, which allows you to find the keywords where those are spoken aloud, and then jump right to that point in the video. We have many customers who are using this today to offer those kinds of services, and it's quite exciting. It comes from technology developed by Microsoft Research, and you use it today as part of Connect and Cortana. Now we're using the similar technology to be able to give you this indexing capability in Azure Media Services. If you were in the broadcasting industry, you know that there have been a variety of high-quality source formats of content made available and you've been using for many years, and we offer solutions for you as well. Something that we call Azure Media Encoder Premium will support all of the major broadcast formats for content and do so in a very powerful way with the ability to support multi-language tracks, Dolby Digital Surround Sound, the ability to convert from one format to the other, to distribute your content onto set-top boxes if necessary. So we offer that as a option as well. Now, in the area of content protection, clearly this is very important if you're wanting to make sure that whoever watches your content is authorized to do so. So lots of key features in this area. One is around the area of encryption. So we offer two key technologies in encryption, one which is called AES 128 Clear Key Encryption, and the other, of course, is our own Microsoft PlayReady Digital Rights Management solution. Both are very powerful technologies in order to protect the content as it streams from the cloud to the device to make sure that the viewer who watches your content is authorized and licensed to do so. Now, you can build a solution that is very tailored to whatever your model is. If you want to require the person to log in first to see the content, you can do that. Or you can require, you can put restrictions on how they can view the content, such as what devices they can port it to, the use of the HDMI port, the ability to watch it on a particular kind of device like an iPhone. You can put restrictions on how long they have the rights to watch the content, an hour, a week, a month. All of those are capable functionalities of building a solution that is custom to your needs. All of these solutions integrate quite nicely with what we call token-based authentication methods. That is to say, the ability for you to determine how and who should watch your content, which integrates quite nicely with Microsoft Active Directory, whether local or running in the cloud. And this really gives you the most diverse playback options. That is, when you create the client solution, again, whether it's browser-based, whether it's native client-based, whether it's corporate-based or it's consumer-based, you really have full control of the kind of application that you wish to use. The two content protection methods that I mentioned today really can be used in different ways, and what we see from our customers is whether you use a full-featured play-ready technology, which gives you really the most powerful ways to protect and manage your content, and this, of course, is endorsed by the motion picture associations around the world to protect content which is in licensing windows. Or perhaps encryption is really all that is required. Just think of a corporate application that you might have. For example, delivering to your employees videos on HR or legal compliance or training capabilities. In these situations, you may not be so worried about digital rights lockdown, but rather just to make sure that this content only goes to the endpoints that you are dictating, that is, your employees who are watching it on their various devices. So again, these are choices that you can make when you're building a solution, but the cloud supports them both. In fact, what's quite nice is that you can even choose both of them at the same time using technology that we offer today from the cloud called dynamic encryption. That is, as you stream the video from the cloud, you can choose on the fly what technology to employ. Maybe you want to only encrypt it if you're streaming it to employees inside your corporate network, but put full-featured DRM on top if it's being streamed outside your corporate network. Both of these are viable solutions. The playback capabilities that we offer today to build a player solution is very powerful. And I won't spend too much time talking about this, but suffice to say, all of the new capabilities of building a custom player, designing a player that has advertising, that has analytics, possibly the ability to build in really cool features like choosing your camera angles, all of these are capable in a player that you could design or that you can license from one of our existing partners. So there's quite a lot of powerful options when it comes to building a player to play your video. And this is true whether you're talking about live or on-demand content. And we continue to innovate in this area quite substantially. In fact, what you'll be hearing from us soon is the ability to have a single player that runs on any device available in the market today, a common player. This is really great because, in this case, now you don't have to do a lot of different development efforts that play on Android, on iOS, on Windows, or Windows Phone, but rather use one player client that's HTML5 based, and that will run very capably on any device available in market to play the video content that you have. So you can expect to see some exciting announcements from us coming up soon. But I think that many of our customers have been asking for just this kind of functional capability. Now, today we are going to focus a little bit more on live, but I wanted to just show you that most of our customers, when they get started with Azure Media Services, actually start with what's called building an on-demand workflow. And this contains the simple way of, say taking a piece of video content, ingesting it up to the cloud, then using our cloud-based encoder, then package that content up, possibly add a layer of encryption, and then delivering it. And there are many ways that you can do this today. You can use our available SDKs that are available today at azure.com/media, and you can download our SDKs and build a file or a set of project code that enables you to use our APIs to do this. Or you can use quite easily the graphical portal, which is available from Azure today. Hopefully, some of you have seen the Azure portal. I'll go ahead and log into that so you can take a look at it. My screen just locked out on me, so I'm bringing it back up. Here we go. So hopefully you've seen the portal before, and Microsoft Azure Media Services is just right here, is this icon here. And inside here, you can use the portal to manage. Oh, that's Jason's. I'm sorry. Wrong one. There we go. This is the portal. And within here, you can see all of the different media services capabilities that you have. And inside that, you have the ability to encode, to stream, to encrypt, and to publish content. So that's one way that you can do it. But we do have another way that works quite nicely. And that's something that we just recently announced, which is called the Azure Media Services Explorer tool. So the Explorer tool is another way that you can manage your content. In this way, you are using a desktop-based tool and have a very simple access to all the functionality that I just described. the ability to upload content from a local desktop or possibly do cloud-to-cloud transfer or an FTP upload, and then perform encodes on that functions and then publish that content for streaming. So this is a very great and easy-to-use tool with no coding that gives you the ability to use Azure Media Services very, very fast. You can go ahead and go to that website that's listed here and download this desktop tool for free and take a look at it, and feel free to comment and make, and you can even take the source code if you like and adjust it. But this is a great way of managing your content. And of course, it gives you lots of capabilities, all the capabilities that I just described, including the ability to do the indexing that I described, the encryption capabilities. It even links to all of the common players that we have available that are out today. And if I just show you very quickly, I'm going to go back to mine. Here we go. Here's the tool. Here's some content that I've uploaded. This was my source that I uploaded, and then this was the file that I encoded. And then from the encoded, I could publish this very quickly to the web if I wish. Or I can create what we call locators, which are just the URLs that you can give to anybody available to play it. And I can link very nicely into player clients. And you can see there's four player clients that I can choose from, either a Flash-based player or a Silverlight player or an MPEG Dash player. And I even can use the tool to jump directly into a website that will play the content back for me. And here you go. Now it's playing. So a really powerful tool. Really like that. Great. Let me get back to the PowerPoint. There we go. I won't spend too much time on this because I want to leave plenty of time for Jason's demonstration, but I do want to say that there's a couple key reasons why the cloud works really well, and that is around the area of dynamic-based technology. I mentioned dynamic encryption. I want to mention dynamic packaging, because dynamic packaging is the way that we take content which is encoded and distributed across the internet that has been traditionally done for a very long time, and we turn it on its heels to make it much more cost-effective for you. So the traditional way of doing this today was that you would take a piece of video content, again, regardless of whether it was live or on demand, and you would encode it, and then you would publish it and decide in advance all the different formats that you might have, and then you would have copies, what we call renditions, of everything that would be published and stored on some sort of origin or caching server somewhere. This potentially leads you with multiple copies of the same asset over and over again. With dynamic packaging and dynamic capabilities, we don't have to do that anymore. Today, we can encode a file once into a multi-bitrate MP4 file and then host that on an origin server in the cloud, and then use the power of the cloud to distribute the content as the device is requesting it. So, for example, if any of the devices, whether they're iOS or they're Google Android or possibly an Xbox or Windows Phone or Windows 8, regardless of what they are, we will on the fly convert them to the right format. And this way, you only have to store one copy of the encoded asset, but you can distribute it to all the different devices that are on the market today. And this is true for encryption, too. So the traditional way is you have multiple copies of everything stored, and you have to keep all of these copies with their encryption and their encryption policies. And of course, with dynamic, now what we're going to do is we're going to replace that with on-the-fly capabilities of dynamic packaging and dynamic encryption. This really gives you, the developer, the most flexibility and the capabilities of building a solution that makes the most sense for you. And again, regardless of whether you're using AES or PlayReady, it all works the same. All righty. I'm going to jump a little bit ahead here and invite Jason up in just a second. So as a way of queuing this up, today, as I mentioned, everything that we offer in terms of support for VOD, which is on-demand content, also applies to the live. Now, live is, of course, has its own kind of challenges, but if you know, the biggest which is scalability, which is live content tends to drive the highest amount of audiences. And once you've broadcast the content live, you may want to instantly convert that to be stored as an on-demand asset immediately or possibly even during the broadcast of the live feed. So all of these are capabilities that we offer today as part of Azure Media Services, and you'll see from Jason. In addition to that, the ability to monitor your live content and your live feeds, the ability to connect that up to a CDN and a distribution network is all built in and offered as part of Azure Media Services, and all, of course, wrapped up in the Microsoft service level agreement that is necessary to make sure that when you have a live broadcast, it looks good and it stays up and it is always running for you, whether that is a linear feed, an event-based feed, or any other live content that you may be distributing today. So with that, I'm going to invite Jason to come on up. I'll queue up your slide for you, and then but then you can get going. So I'm just going to jump a few slides down.
All right. Well, again, while he's doing that, my name is Jason Seuss. I'm a program manager on the Azure Media Services team. And specifically, I own all of our streaming services, including our live scenarios. And so what I'm going to do is now dive in a little bit deeper, specifically in the area of live streaming. As we said in the abstract for the session, we're going to focus on a scenario where you have some live content that you want to distribute. Say you're within the corporation and you want to do a webcast to all of your employees. We'll build that out here on stage. And we'll secure it using the AES encryption that Martin talked about. So are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. You have the clicker.
All right. So before I get into actually doing the implementation, I want to go a little bit deeper into the components that you'll use to put together a live streaming solution. So the first thing is you're going to need a live encoder. So you'll have a camera, of course, that's capturing the content that you want to distribute. That may be a webcam built into your laptop. It could be a camera that you have sitting on a tripod. But either way, you're going to take that video feed coming from the camera, and you need to do an initial set of encoding. Currently in our service, we don't yet have live transcoding built in. So with that live encoder, you'll actually need to encode into the various quality levels that you want to distribute. So let's say you want to have an adaptive set with three different quality levels. In that encoder, you'll need to encode into those three different quality levels. And I'll show you how to do that using one of our partner encoders called Wirecast. The next is within Azure Media Services, you'll have a channel. So now think of a channel as being an ingest component for live streams. So again, as Martin talked about, you have the ability to either put together a VOD workflow, and for that you would upload files to us that would then get transcoded into the various formats that you need. In the case of live, you'll of course be streaming in to us, and it's a channel that you set up to receive that stream, and it'll take care of receiving it and writing it to disk for you. So then on a channel, you'll have an ingest URL. So that's, you'll take your encoder and you'll put the ingest URL into it, and you'll push into that channel using the ingest URL. And then off of the channel, you also have what's called a preview URL. So once you have the encoder pushing in, you're going to want to check and make sure that everything's set up and flowing properly. So what you can do is you can take a video player and connect it up to the preview URL to suck that video back out and make sure everything looks good. And I'll show that to you in just a second as well. So next is a program. And a program is an entity that you'll run on the channel itself. So once the channel's set up, the video is flowing into it properly, you'll create a program, and that's what will take the video that's flowing in, and it'll actually write it into an asset within our system, and thus be able to archive it for later use, and also to make it available through our origin services for streaming out to your audience. And then, as I just talked about, you'll have an asset. So within Azure Media Services, an asset is essentially a container which will hold your video content. So when you create a program, you'll need to reference an asset that you want it to write the video content into. So essentially, it'll take all that video that you're streaming into us and write it into that container that you create. Next, you'll have a streaming locator. And a streaming locator, all it is it's essentially a GUID that you'll create within our system. And you'll give that in when you want to request the content through our origin services. You'll provide that in the URL that you form. And that basically tells us where to find that asset that you're using so that we can then pull that content back out of the asset and stream it out to you. And then lastly, of course, you need a video player. And we'll talk a little bit about that here. But that can be any of the standard mechanisms that you would use to build a video player today, whether that be building a Flash-based player or now with HTML5 and MPEG Dash, you could build a Dash-based player on a mobile device, maybe you build a native app, et cetera. There we go. So if you're a more visual person, I've got this laid out in a diagram as well. So I'll just go through this very quickly. So of course, here's my laser pointer, if I can figure out where it is. There it is. So there's your encoder. So in the demonstration I'm going to put together, I'm going to use my laptop up here. And again, I have Wirecast installed on my laptop. So I'm going to take the webcam on my laptop, encode it with Wirecast, and then push it into the channel. And again, the channel is just a compute entity on Azure that will receive that stream. And then I'll create a program on it. And the program is going to write into an asset. And then I'll have a streaming endpoint, which I've already provisioned here. And I'll have a locator on it, which will then allow anytime a video player requests the content, it'll know where to go find that asset and stream it out. So that's what we're going to build here. So the first step in building this out is I'm going to create the channel that we just talked about. And I'm going to do all of this first through our portal so that you can see what that looks like. And then we'll loop back and we'll do it through code. And I'll show you a little bit of the code that you would use to do it. So everything that in Azure Media Services, as Martin talked about, you can either do through our portal, although the portal surface area doesn't quite cover everything that we can do with Azure Media Services. The core way of working with Azure Media Services is through our REST API. And then after I've got the channel created, then I'm going to go ahead and set up my encoder to start pushing into that. So if I switch over to my laptop here, I'm going to go back to that portal that Martin showed you. And I've got a media services account set up in here. So I'm going to go over to the channels tab within this, which lists all the channels that I have running. It says I currently have no channels running, so I'm just going to click here to add a new channel. And I'll just give it a name like TechEd. How's that for originality? And I'm going to go ahead and tell it to go ahead and start the channel now, and I'll kick that off. And that will take about 2 minutes for it to go ahead and spin up that channel. So in the meantime, I'll get started on setting up my encoder. So let me go back out here to my desktop, and I've got a Wirecast document here, which basically has some settings in it. And we'll provide this document to you so you can use this on your own if you want to repeat the steps that I'm taking up here. So I'm going to open Wirecast. Wirecast, just to give you a little background on it, is a fairly inexpensive desktop-based encoder. So I believe it's about a $400 license, has lots of great capabilities as far as being able to broadcast your desktop, do a picture-in-picture with slides and a talking head within it. But it will also take this video feed that you produce and then encode it into H.264, which is what we need. So what I need in here, let me take you in and show you the output settings. What I'm doing is I've got two quality levels defined. So remember I talked about the fact that you need to encode into the various quality levels that you want to distribute to your end audience. And in my case, I've defined two different quality levels. I've got one at 900 kilobits per second with a resolution of, hold on a second, with a resolution of 480 by 360. And then I've got another quality level at 400K. So anyway, what I need next here is within Wirecast, it needs the destination or the address where it's going to push that video. So in our case, again, that's the channel that I'm building now, and I need to provide it with the ingest URL. So I'm going to pop back over here, and I'm going to grab that ingest URL. Here's that TechEd channel that I'm starting. I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to grab the ingest URL. And I'll go back in, and I'm just going to paste that in to that address. And I need to do that on both of the quality levels. Okay, done. And let me just go back in and check and see where we are as far as that channel starting up. It says it's ready. And you can see I grabbed it through a tool that I've built, but you can see here within the portal, I could also grab the ingest URL right here as well. So my channel's up and running, so I can now go ahead and start pushing into it. So I'll push stream. Oh, let me make sure. Looks like maybe I didn't grab it correctly, so let me try one more time. All right, one more try. All right, so it seems to work that time. So now, again, the next thing, I should have video flowing into that channel. Now, the next thing I want to do is just verify that the channel's receiving it properly. So again, that's where we have our preview URL. So I'm going to switch back over to the portal, and I have a little play button down here at the bottom. One of the options it gives me is to play from the preview URL. And when I do that, it's going to pop up a little video player. There it goes. And so indeed, here's the video that I'm pushing in. So what's happening here is now I have the encoder pushing up into the cloud, the video that I'm encoding here on my laptop, and I'm connecting a video player up to that preview URL up in the cloud, and I'm pulling the video back down. So this proves to me that everything's working properly as far as video flowing into that channel. So now, let me just flip back over here for a second. Or there. Okay, so I've completed these first two steps in building out this infrastructure that I need to carry on my live event. The next two steps, let me just move forward to that quickly. So I need to create an asset. Again, an asset is the container that's going to hold all the video that I'm streaming up, both for archival purposes and to make it available to my audience. And then I need to create the program that's actually going to push the video from that channel into the asset. So before I do that really quick, I just want to talk about one of the settings that you have on your program. So on a program, you have what's called an archive window. And think of the archive window as being basically your data retention policy for that video that you're pushing in. So that archive window can be anywhere from 5 minutes to 25 hours, and it basically specifies how much video you want us to retain. And so in this case, I'm using an example where I've got an archive window of 1 hour. So what that means is when I start this program, what it's going to do is it's going to start to build out, it's going to store all that video in the asset. So here in the first case, I've been running the program for 20 minutes. What you can see is I've got 20 minutes of that video stored in my asset. So I move along in my timeline, And I've got now all the video from the live position all the way back for 40 minutes now. I'm still retaining all of that video that's being pushed in. But now, when I get to the 70-minute point, what you'll see is I'm still only retaining 60 minutes of the video. So essentially, the oldest 10 minutes, the 10 minutes that I originally pushed in, is now starting to be deleted from that asset. And I essentially have a rolling window of archive. So if I only want to retain 60 minutes, say, for instance, if I'm running a very long-running stream and I just want to have a rolling DVR window that people can access, I would set a short archive window like that. If you want to archive all of the content, you don't want to delete any of it, you would just make sure you set the archive window to be longer than the length of the event that you're going to run. So if I'm going to do a webcast that lasts an hour and I want to have a complete archive, that complete hour, then I would just set my archive window to something like 3 hours or something like that. And you'll end up with an archive of the entire event. All right, so let's dive into that part. So I'll switch back over to my laptop. And so back in the portal here, I now have a really easy to use function that's going to actually take care of both of those steps for me in essentially one click. And it's this start streaming button. So I'll do that. And what it's doing, once I click yes here, it's going to automatically go out and create an asset within Azure Media Services. And once it's done that, then it will go ahead and create a program on that channel that I created and start it for me. So it'll start pushing all of that content into my asset. So we'll give it here about a minute to go ahead and get started. Done. And now I can actually start to view this stream. And I'll do that here by going back. I've got my preview URL, I've got my publish URL, and I'm going to grab that and I'm going to stick it into a video player that I have here. I've got a video player already built, and I'm just going to hand the manifest URL to it. And then I'm going to publish it so each of you can view it as well. So I see many of you have devices out there. If you just want to open a browser on one of your devices and enter that shortened URL or scan the QR code, what you're going to see when you go there, we have a simple video player. And what this video player does is it basically looks at your user agent on your device. And depending on what the video formats are that your device supports, it'll either play on iOS, it'll play HLS. Or if you're on Android or Windows Phone, it's going to play MPEG-Dash. So if you enter that, hopefully what you should then see, I don't know how good the Wi-Fi is in here, but you should eventually see that same video that I'm pushing in from my laptop playing on each one of your devices. Okay, so let's see, quick time check. All right, it's about 10 minutes, good. So what I'm gonna do now is, so now we've built out this whole infrastructure and we've got it working, and I've done it through the portal. What I'd like to do is show you some of those same basic steps, but show you how to do it in code. And then the last thing I want to do is, instead of this stream that we have running here is encrypted, unencrypted. Everything is being streamed to you completely in the clear. And as we talked about in the abstract, in the type of scenario that we're talking about of doing corporate webcasting, you probably want to encrypt that content so nobody can capture it, and if there's some confidential information, you don't want somebody intercepting it and being able to play it back. So we're going to take the AES encryption that Martin talked about, and we're going to apply that dynamically to our stream as we stream it out. So all of the video content will be AES encrypted. Excuse me. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to flip over to Visual Studio. And I've got some sample code put together. So you don't have to watch me try to type in code up here on stage. And the code that I have will do a number of different things. And we're going to provide all of this code to you. So don't worry about trying to busily copy it down or anything. We'll post it all up on a website. You can download all this code, try it out for yourself. So the code that I have in here does a couple of things. First off here, what I need to do is I need to create a cloud context. So essentially, I need to open a connection to Azure Media Services. So in order to be able to do that, I'm going to provide my account name, and I'm going to provide an account key. Just to show you what that looks like, I'll open up my app.config. And let's blow that up a little bit so you can see it. So here in my app settings, I have my account name and I have my account key. So that's what's being used there. And you can get that through the portal. Let me just pop back over here and show you what that looks like. So if I go back out here to my media services account, which is this one right here, I have this manage keys button. And that'll show you your account key, which you'll use in your code then to access your account. All right, so back over to Visual Studio. So I create my cloud context. And the next thing I can do, and I'm not actually going to do this up here because it actually takes about 5 minutes, and I don't want you all to stand and watch and wait for that to happen. Hit the wrong button. But I'll show you just basically what that looks like. So essentially all I'm going to do here to create an endpoint is right down here. I'm going to take my cloud context, and I basically have a collection of streaming endpoints, and off of that collection, I'm going to say create. And I give it a number of options. I can specify things like an IP ACL that I want to apply to that streaming endpoint. I could specify how many streaming units in it, which are units of bandwidth that I want to provision into it, et cetera. So that's what that looks like. Again, I'm not going to do that up here on stage. I already have one provisioned. Now, the next thing I can do is create a channel. Let me take you through, show you what that looks like. So again, in this case, I'm going to take my cloud context, which is, again, my connection. And off of it, I'm going to do basically the same sort of thing. I've got my cloud context here, and I have a collection of channels off of that cloud context, and I'm going to do, again, another create. And just like I did with the streaming endpoint, I have a number of different options that I can specify for that channel. I can give it, of course, a name, and then I have input options. So this is another thing that you would probably want to take advantage of in this scenario, is that one of the input options that you can specify, and I'll show you up here, is that I can specify an IP range for that channel that I want to create. So if I want to lock down and only allow my machine to be able to push video content into this channel, I can do that. I can do the same thing with being able to preview that stream. So if I want to lock down the preview so only a limited set of people can access the preview of the stream, I can do that as well. And then I have some output options. But the main thing is, again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a channel. Once I've created the channel, then I need to put it into a start state. which is right up here, channel.start. And so once I'm done with that, I will basically do all the same stuff that you saw me do in the portal a few minutes ago. So because I already have that channel running through the portal, I'm not going to run this code either. So let's just move back up. I'll comment this out. So the next thing I want to do, I'm going to leap down to these lines of code right here. So we talked about wanting to apply now the AES encryption to secure the content as I'm streaming it out to my audience. So in order to do that, the first thing I'm going to do, because I'm using a channel that's already running rather than creating one, I'm going to reach into that collection of channels, and I'm just going to grab the first channel in my account. If I go back into the dashboard and go to channels, you'll see that I only have one channel running. So I'm just going to take a shortcut here, and I'm just going to grab the first channel in the collection. Now, once I've got that channel, the reference to that channel, I'm going to hand it off to this method that I have here. And what this method is going to do is it's first going to create an asset. So again, every time I create a program, I need to create an asset. So I'm going to do that here. So I grab my context again, my collection of assets, and I'm going to create off of it an asset. Now, in order to make the stream encrypted, what I next need to do is I need to set a delivery policy on this asset. And what I'm doing here is I'm specifying content keys, and you can see this property of that key that I'm setting right here. And what I'm doing is I'm setting the content type to be envelope encryption, which is basically AES encryption. So what that means is every fragment that we're streaming out, whether it be an HLS fragment or a smooth fragment or a dash fragment, right before we stream it out at the time of request, we're going to take that whole fragment and we're going to AES encrypt it before we deliver it out. Okay. So why don't I go ahead and do that? The next thing that I'm doing here after I've created this asset is I'm creating a program. You can see that here. I have the collection of programs that are running off of my channel. And I'm going to create a new program. And once I've created the program, then I'm just purely going to start it. So let me go ahead and execute this code. Should only take about a minute. All right, so my asset is created with the asset policy that we talked about. And there we are. I'll just knock that down, and let's go back over to the portal now. So here, again, is my channel. And if I drill into the channel, it will show me all the programs that I have running on this channel. And so you can see the default program there is the first one we created. That's an unencrypted program that I'm running. So if you connect up to that, it's still streaming unencrypted. But now I've created a second program on it, which is that program 007, which has the AES encryption policy set on it. So just to show you what that looks like, let me just take the URL for that. Oh, shoot, I didn't publish it. Oops. So the one step I missed there, and I'll do that through the portal, is I didn't publish that. So I don't have that streaming locator that we talked about, so it's not available for streaming. So let me just go ahead and do that. All right, so there's my publish URL. And what I'm going to do is just open that manifest now in Visual Studio so you can see the envelope encryption that we're applying to it. All right, so this is just your typical smooth streaming manifest. If you've ever seen that, I could also open it in HLS or any of the other formats that we support. But essentially what's different between the first program we created and the second one that I've now created is we now have this protection header on it. Let me blow that up so you can see it. So within this protection header, we're essentially telling all the video clients that are playing this that all the fragments that it's going to receive through this stream are going to be AES encrypted. And you can see basically the key delivery URL there. So that's telling the video players that play the stream, hey, go out here and request the decryption key for this stream. Okay, so with that, that pretty much covers everything that I wanted to show today. So we've got a few minutes left.
So I thought I would show
you
want
to show one more thing? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So let me just switch to, I thought maybe you guys would like to see just what are some of the commercially available applications that have been created using Azure Media Services. So I've got a couple running on my Windows 8 laptop, so you can just see them. You can go, if you want to play with these, you can download these apps from various stores in various countries. So just a few examples. So in the United States, we have NBC, the major broadcaster in the NBC, who's got an application. This is using Azure Media Services for doing streaming of sports, all of their sports content. You can see the Major League Baseball is covered here. They do National Football League. They do NASCAR car racing. They do hockey. So they do the Golf Channel in the United States. So if you are a big fan of sports and you want to watch any of these the sporting content on your device or your laptop, as I have here, you can. Once they air the content live, after it plays live, they make it instantly available on the app through here, and I can play some of this content as an on-demand asset. And of course, this is all streaming through the Azure cloud. All of this content was broadcast live if you were, awake or, you wanted to watch it live. And then, of course, now I'm watching this particular hockey highlight after the fact. And this is streaming this is my Windows 8 laptop, but you can download this for iOS or for Android as well. So this gives you sort of what NBC is doing today. We have a customer in the UK, if you're familiar with Blinkbox. If you're based in the UK, you can download this app from the Windows 8 store, or again, you can go on the browser or the device, and you can take a look at the Blinkbox app. This is an on-demand application, so they're not using the live services that Jason just showed, but this is all on-demand-based content of movies and television titles. Their model, of course, is a per-use is their model. So all of this content gets encoded through Azure Media Services. It gets encrypted using PlayReady, and then you buy it with credit card, and then it'll play that back. So I can launch a movie like Gravity here and then play it back on my device, and then off it'll go and play this back. So you get the sense of what this kind of application does. Again, streaming this content through the cloud and playing it back on any device that's available in the market today. And so you get the sense for now. Obviously, these are apps that were built using client technology, so I did have to download it. But we have other options that are browser-based that you can play around with. So I think you get the idea. It's a great movie. Looks good on the big screen, right? Other applications, if depending on where, what country you're based in, Video Future, that's a French-based company, so you can download that app from France. That's similar to the Blinkbox model. Or perhaps you might be based in Germany, and Das Erste, which is the German consortium of public broadcasters, is using Azure Media Services for the publishing of their content, again, news or sport or entertainment or whatever you like. So feel free to take a look at what they've built here. And you don't need to do this on Windows 8. They have it all available, again, on whatever device you like, which is quite nice. And it all works very similarly. You know, pick a piece of content, go ahead and stream it, and then off you are and running. So these are kinds of applications that are being used. Now, the last thing I thought I would leave you with, and I'm just going to go back to the slide deck, if that's OK. This one, right? Oh, yeah. Thanks. I'm just going to jump back up to the, because I do want to end with enterprise. So I'm just going to go back up here. Here we go. So for those of you who are representing either companies or customers that are not in the consumer space, we've been talking a lot, and I showed you some examples in the consumer space of entertainment. Obviously, Azure Media Services is being used quite extensively in the enterprise for various different means. Three key areas. One is around the distribution of video content internally. So companies that build videos, whether they are used for entertainment purposes or advertising and marketing, and they distribute the video content in amongst themselves, amongst their different teams. Or perhaps you're doing advertising and product placement, such as how to brew the best cup of coffee with my new coffee maker, or how to use my new sleeping bag, or how to drive my Audi car. All of these are videos that are being published, and you can publish all of this content through Azure Media Services and then incorporate it into your website and use that. It's different, of course, than placing your content on, for example, a site like YouTube, where you're giving up your video to another entity and they're controlling and managing it. In this case, you are hosting your own videos. In this case, you're hosting it through Azure, but you're building a brand and a website around that which plays videos. And since we've given you all of the tools to be able to do that, all of the hard stuff has been taken care of. The fun stuff is building that brand and that experience for your consumers. And then lastly, the area around video portals. And this is a particular area that we've been seeing quite a lot of heavy activity around. The idea of the company wanting to build an enterprise video portal that looks kind of something like this, something where all of the videos for your corporation for use by your employees or your contractors, and you might want to make this only available to your employees or only to partners of the company. There are lots of different options and ways that these portals are getting built out today, and what we're seeing is that you can use Azure Media Services as the underlying platform infrastructure, but then what you build on top of it, that is the presentation, the look and feel. So one of the options that's coming out today, and I certainly encourage you to go talk to them because they're at the Tech Ed, is the Office team. So Office 365 has a product that's coming out that's called Office 365 Video. And what that does is it gives you the ability to build these kinds of portals through SharePoint Online as part of Office 365. Imagine if anyone who subscribes to Office 365 in your organization could very simply upload the videos that they make, maybe even took, for example, I see some of you taking pictures and videos here in this session, and then you upload that to a portal that looks like this, with your own credentials, and then you tag it, and then you can distribute it and share it with your fellow employees. So that's something that's happening today, and it comes with a lot of great options, and I encourage you to go talk to the Office team because that's a product that's actually been announced and is coming in just a few weeks. But whether you use Office 365, or whether you use SharePoint, or whether you use any other kind of presentation layer, you can very quickly and easily, using Azure Media Services, build options for the enterprise to take advantage of all of these things. In fact, what Jason just showed in terms of how easy it is to set up a live channel can similarly be done inside the enterprise so that you can build for your own company the ability to do live streaming channels, whether that's CEO talks or management talks or group meetings or what have you. And all of that can be easily taken care of and built around Azure Media Services as the underlying structure. And all you're worried about or having to design is what does that presentation look like? And this example, this graphic here, is this is from SharePoint. that you can build. But you don't have to use SharePoint. You can certainly use any number of ways. You can build an entirely web page or HTML5-based presentation. But it takes advantage of all of the things that Jason just showed you in terms of live, as well as on-demand streaming in addition. And you can incorporate all the other features that we talked about, such as the content indexing or video keyword search or any of those other key capabilities. So I wanted to leave you with that from the enterprise standpoint. And you know, this is the architecture that you can use. This is the Office Video's perspective, but it doesn't have to be Office Video. There's lots of ways to build these kinds of applications. And you know, you're using the Azure Cloud, so you can guarantee the upload of your content is secure. It's secure when it's stored, and it's secured when it's streaming. And that's very important to the enterprise, where you might be streaming data which is confidential. It may be protected, and you need to make sure that you can build a solution that meets your enterprise needs, as well as the needs, as we've been talking about now, with all of the commercial applications. So I think as we wrap up here, you know, we have seen quite a lot of different application usage for everything that we've been describing and demonstrating to you in the entertainment space, in the consumer market, and also now in the enterprise space. And we think that this platform has quite a lot of use cases. As I scroll through some of the pictures of how they're used by some of our customers around the world quite extensively. And of course, we and Microsoft use all of these products, the Azure Media Services Cloud, as well internally for our own products, for how we train our employees. And also Xbox uses it quite extensively, as does Bing and Skype. So you can imagine that there's quite a lot of use cases around it. I would like to open it up to any questions that you might have, and I'll also put up on the screen some of the resources and the more information, so you can ask. Everything that we've shown here will be available at some of these locations if you wish to take advantage of that. Both the sample code that Jason showed will be put at this website here. The Explorer tool that I showed earlier is already available on this website here, as well as if you want a sample player. This particular player is quite powerful because it is the precursor for what is the player that will run on any device that you'd like. So keep visiting that site from time to time, and you'll see it'll run on more and more devices that are out in the marketplace. That's sort of it. I think we're going to end here. There's lots of more information that they do want us to share with you about what's available at TechEd, and hopefully you're taking advantage of that. And we would very much appreciate your feedback about this presentation. Hopefully it was helpful and informative for you, and we'd certainly love to hear back from you. So if you don't mind, go ahead and QR away. But we will be happy to take any questions in the few minutes that are remaining that you might have about anything Azure Media Services related. Any questions at all? Yes, we're located in Hall 7, in the Azure area. You can find us in the purple area under Developer Tools. We're there, yeah. Please, feel free to stop by, yeah. Anybody else have any questions? Well, then, thank you very much. We appreciate the early arrival and coming up, pre-breakfast, so to speak. So thank you very much. We'll be around, and enjoy the rest of TechEd. I hope it's very productive for you. Thank you.